98. Every morning from 10, 98FM's Dublin Talks keeps you up to date with COVID-19. Dublin Talks. Dublin Talks with Adrian Kennedy.
There are thousands of you listening at this moment who have been on the COVID-19 pandemic payment since March, with most of you receiving €350. Others who have been working throughout or have been kept on the payroll by their employer have been topped up by the COVID-19 wage subsidy scheme. And if it weren't for that, many companies would have had to let staff go. But these welfare packages will eventually come to an end in August, because let's be honest, there isn't a bottomless pit of money to keep paying people from. And it got us thinking, and it's a conversation that we haven't heard discussed anywhere yet, and it's something that we're all going through: the worry of job security, the worry of what happens when the 350 COVID payment stops, as it will. We all know it will. We all know it has to at some stage. At the start of this year, at the start of 2020, and I'm thinking back to January of 2020, everything in this country was looking rosy. The economy was doing extremely well. We had very low unemployment. People were planning to buy houses. People were doing well in their jobs. It was a good country in January. But I want to find out now, how are you feeling now in July 2020? Compared to January or February of 2020. I know, for example, for me, it's very difficult because my own two adult children have lost their jobs. Not that they are on the COVID payment, they have been laid off from their jobs, both of them. And I know this has happened to many of you. And I want to have a conversation about how you're feeling now. At the start of the year, you may have been very optimistic. Things were looking very good in January and February. And then, boom, we hit this brick wall that has affected every single one of us. Some companies have cut pay for staff. Other companies have laid staff off without any plans to return them. Some companies see no future. For example, in the events industry, there is no light at the end of the tunnel, because we don't know when we will ever be able to have large gatherings of people around which the entire event industry is geared. You can't have a big event with no people. So until those sort of restrictions are lifted, the event industry sees no bright future. We were talking, Pascal, about, you know, how people have been impacted by this. Have they lost their jobs? Are they down in money? Are they struggling financially? What's your situation?
Well, I was very lucky because I work in a restaurant. My wife works in an office, so she was working from home. So the 350 were very helpful. So we didn't struggle too much. But I know of people who have both lost their job. Mm-hmm. And had maybe a bigger mortgage on. I think the government was very good giving us all this money. I also think 350 maybe was too much, really.
Okay, but for people who were earning an awful lot more than 350, 350 was very much less than they were earning. Do you know what I mean?
I know, but people need to, you know, to go back to reality. I mean, during a pandemic, you don't have to buy yourself a new car, or you don't have to book holidays.
That's very true, I suppose. Yeah, so people weren't spending as much money.
To hold on, buy your food, stay home, and no shopping online all day long. You know, I've heard of people doing jobs, you know, like painting the house and getting builders in. You know, even if the builders shouldn't be working, you know.
And are you now back to work?
I'm starting tomorrow. I work in Temple Bar, so the restaurant is opening again. Out of 8 waiters, I'm the only one going back.
Oh, right. So the other ones have they been laid off? Time. Or
we're just going to see what the business is.
Oh,
like,
so it's opening up slowly.
Yeah, of course. I'm very lucky now. I won't name it. I work for a great company. They've been supporting us as much as, you know, like they even paid holiday in advance. And but of course, I understand. I've been there a long time, so that's why they picked me to get there first.
Mm-hmm.
back.
All right, so you're delighted that you are back to work tomorrow, and then the company is opening up kind of slowly but surely and see how things go.
Yeah, I won't earn any different than 350 probably, because there's no tourists around and I travel from Nate to Dublin all the time. But I couldn't say no, you know. I've been called for work and I'm going to work tomorrow.
Very good. So. That's great to hear. I hope everything goes really well as you go back to work tomorrow. And I hope the company, builds up business as quick as possible. The best of luck to you, Pascal. Thanks very much indeed.
Thanks a million, Adrian. Bye-bye.
6797981 is our telephone number. You can text, WhatsApp, or send a WhatsApp voice note to 0877-989898. As I said, at the start of this year, everything was looking rosy. Most of us had jobs. We had what they call zero unemployment, even though obviously there were people in receipt of welfare, but they call it a zero unemployment rate. Things were great in January and February. But now we're in July. We're on the far side of the pandemic. We can see the country starting to reopen and everything else. But I want to know, how has it affected you? Have you lost your job? Or is there no prospect of you going back to work anytime soon? How has the whole thing affected you financially? We'd love to hear from you on 6797981. As I said earlier on, my own two adult children have both lost their jobs, have both been laid off because the company's business just isn't what was in both cases, actually, or because the restrictions placed on the companies have made them unviable. So that's two, but I know of an awful lot of other people in similar situations. Are you that person? Give me a call on 6797981 and let me know how the whole pandemic has affected you financially. That's really what we're talking about. Now, Yvette, you are self-employed.
I am, Adrian. Good morning.
Good morning, Yvette. How are you?
Good, not too bad.
And tell me, what do you do, or what have you been doing?
I own a dry cleaner, a laundrette.
Okay. And yes. Are you back open again?
I've been open. We closed for 19 days and then we were classed as one of the essential businesses. So we were able to open up just after that, you know, that time. So we've been open for the last 8 weeks, thankfully, and only purely because I've had to. I have a business to run. I have a mortgage to be paid for. I'm a sole trader. I can't sit at home, you know, twiddling my thumbs.
Mm. Has it been difficult?
It has, you know, it's like the unknown, you know, like, are the customers going to be, you know, too afraid to come into you, or, you know, are they going to just, obviously, there was a lot of people cocoon, and a lot of my customers will be the older kind of customers, you know, so they weren't out shopping, they weren't out doing their bits and bobs. And then money-wise, do you waste your money, or do you spend it wisely? You know, is a laundrette or a dry cleaner, like, you know, essential to your life?
Mm. So in terms of that whole period, while you were reopened, but we were under lockdown, business was probably very quiet, was it?
It was. It was very quiet. But, you know, like me and my sisters, we own our own individual dry cleaners. And obviously going through the recession, coming out of the recession, we had a good kind of like, you know, like, you know, we're going to get through this and we're going to do whatever we need to do to get beyond this situation again. So the recession kind of taught us a lot to, you know, pull up your socks and just get out and get some work, which we did. But then, you know, for a lot of other small businesses that I know of, they might have been only finished clearing them debts, you know, the 10-year loans that they got for their, you know, to get through the recession. Mm. And then, bam, we've been hit with a pandemic. We have the likes of the landlords, you know, you pay your landlord every 3 months. Grant, but for the 3 months, a lot of businesses were closed and now only starting to get back open. They've no money to pay their next quarter's rent, but yet the landlords are still hounding.
And that's going to be the test over the next couple of weeks as we go through July, August and September, whether or not companies are going to be able to withstand that sort of pressure.
And that's the thing. And if you're a self-employed person, sole trader, it's not even just the financial aspects. It's your brain, your mentalness, like you're worrying, stressing so much because you're responsible for staff, you're responsible for your home, you're responsible then to pay your debts, and then you don't be racking up debts. You know, you don't want to be constantly living in the black, in the red, or saying, oh, well, I owe this person that one. If I do this job, then that'll cover that. You're constantly chasing your tail. Done it in the recession. I'm not worrying about it now because I got very sick after the recession through stress and worry and whatever else. And I'm not doing it this time. So people have to learn to play ball. The landlords have to be like, you know what? This was unforeseen. The government said, shut everything down. It wasn't like the individual businesses decided, you know what, I'm not going to go into work today.
Mm. So how are things looking now that the country has reopened a bit and obviously your company has been open? Has business improved?
Yeah, I've been lucky, like I said, I've been very lucky. We got onto, you know, we applied for the continuity plans, the trading online vouchers, the help that the local enterprise office are given. Now, we haven't been given any grants back. I don't know of anybody that has. But we've applied for everything. And like I said, me and my sisters, we're hard workers. I've been doing this 15 years. I don't know any better but to get out and get work. So I will continue to do that.
Well, fair play to you, Yvette. With that sort of attitude, you will get there. Fair play. Good to talk to you, Yvette. Thanks very much indeed. 6797981 is our telephone number. Now, Jessica, tell me what happened to you at the start of the year.
Yeah, so we put a deposit on a new build. We queued up early. We picked out our house after saving for a long time. And then the lockdown hit and our solicitor was kind of like, look, it's a no-brainer to pull out here because house prices will drop. So we were devastated and we found a second-hand house for a lot cheaper and we went sale agreed really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
My partner had returned to work and then he was told, sorry, actually, I have to put you off again and he's on the PUP payments. Now, that leaves us up in the air in limbo because, you know, you can't draw down a mortgage if you're on this payment. And he doesn't know when he will return to work.
In fact, I've gotten other people saying something very similar. The banks, there's kind of mixed messaging going on here as well. The banks are saying it doesn't matter, but it seems to matter that you're still on this payment. They want to see you off this payment before they'll approve a mortgage.
Yeah, so at the very last hurdle, when you go to draw down your mortgage, they will ask for a pay slip or a bank statement to show that you have been receiving this payment. So look, our mortgage broker has been saying, hang on in there, maybe he'll get back to work, you know, just in time for this.
And how are things looking about him getting back to work? What, without naming the company, but what sort of work does he do?
It's the motor industry.
Right,
so
yeah.
There's a lot of people back, but he is not the same. There's no work for him, and he can't return yet, but he's still employed. You know, he's still an employee, and as soon as he has some work, he'll get him back. But that's kind of no use to us because we can't say to the bank or to our solicitor, he's going to be back on such and such a date. So we're in limbo again. We're like, look, do we just pull out altogether and save ourselves this extra stress and hassle in the midst of everything else, you know, or do we hang on in there and see what happens? And it's a bit of a disaster because we're living with elderly parents then as well, and you know they're at risk, so if we want to go out or do anything, we're coming back home, and you know it's a bit of a mess.
It sounds like a nightmare.
Yeah, it's a total nightmare, and I've even tried contacting other banks myself and saying, look, can I be assessed, what happens there? And obviously, like, there's no exemptions available anymore. So it's just 3.5 times my salary, which isn't enough. So at every corner, like, you know, every time we're just snookered, there's just no way out, you know.
From a situation in January, February, where everything was looking rosy.
Yeah, we had a brand new house, basically a new kitchen, new bathroom, ensuite, everything. We had plans to get the floors in, we picked out furniture, and now we have nothing, you know.
So it has had, and like I said, you know, on the one side of this coin, we see people going back to work, which is a positive, and, you know, and best of luck to everybody going back to work. But we seem to be forgetting people who aren't going back to work, who have been told by their boss, I'm sorry, I have to lay you off. And that's the sad reality of this as well. I hope that's not the situation with your partner and that he does get back to work. But it's very uncertain at this moment, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. And it's very disheartening when you hear of a lot of people saying, oh, I'm back this week or I'm back in August, and he's chasing it down with his boss. And he just says, you know, he ignores everything that he says about the house and the mortgage and just says, there's no work for you now, but when there is, I will ask you to return to work. And that's all we get. So.
Right. Okay. Yeah. But stay there for 1 second, because Gav, you wanted to comment on that about the banks and lending money.
How are you doing, Adrian?
Good, thanks, Gav. You think the banks are right here?
100% right. Look, I feel sorry for her, but that's the reality of it. There's a lot of people that remember that the whole fella might be getting paid at the moment, but that's because the government is paying companies to top up wages as well. There's a lot of, when that all stops, there is a lot of people that are going to lose their jobs. Mm. They won't get back to work. So if you can remember in the last recession, the start of the last, we were all going mad. Oh, the bank lent 300 grand to this person, he couldn't afford. The bank lent, and they all ended up getting repossessed. Then there was a big fight about repossessions, you know, land registries complaining, saying, oh, you can't repossess people's houses. So we moaned at the banks for that. And now that they're actually practicing prudent lending and they're saying, right, you're on this payment, you can't get a mortgage when you can't afford it. Like, I know the 350 is 350 now, but that's going to go down to 200. So, be realistic. It's madness. They're right not to lend anybody any money at the moment.
You think it's too big a risk? And
100%. Yeah. Well, would you lend someone 50 grand if they're out of work and they're on this welfare payment when they were on, say, £500-600 a week? No, you wouldn't. So you hardly expect the bank to do it.
Sorry, Jessica, you want to get back in there. Go on.
Yeah, so the thing is, with the second-hand house, now with the new build, 100% I would agree, because I couldn't afford that mortgage on my own and it's a blessing in disguise. But with the second-hand house, I can afford the repayments on that. Like, we were renting before and that's actually less than what I paid for rent, you know. So I don't think it should just be a blanket ban. It should be a case by case of...
Gav's point, though, is that they are and have been for the last couple of years lending in a much more responsible way than they were 10 years ago. They're not taking chances and they're only lending to people that they're confident enough will be able to repay.
Yeah,
and unfortunately... You happen to fall into that, isn't that the problem?
Yeah, no, this is the problem. Like, I'm not saying the banks are right or the banks are wrong. I'm just saying that's our current situation.
Yeah, that's exactly what we're trying to find out from people. What is your situation? How have you been affected financially by this COVID-19 pandemic? Have you lost your job? Is there any chance of you going back to work? Call me now on 6797981. Now, Paul, you were actually laid off 2 weeks ago, were you?
Well, I was there, Adrian, yeah.
What sort of industry do you work in?
I was working in the food industry there.
Okay, and why were you let go? Were you told why?
We were given the reason that due to the change of the economic and the reduced sales within the company that they could no longer keep us employed, it was a COVID reason, you know.
And so, does it look like, and again, I don't want to identify the specific company, but could you see that yourself? Could you see a downturn in your company?
No, we were guaranteed when we went into this kind of COVID thing at the very start, things were looking very positive. We were guaranteed our jobs would be safe, not to be worrying. It was one of the first questions I asked when we were told we'd have to shut. Wouldn't my job be safe? And I was told by my boss, oh yes, your job is safe, don't be worrying about your job and all this. And, you know, we were kind of called back. I went back then for, it would have been a little over 2 months. And then out of the blue, we were called into a meeting on the Wednesday and told we were being let go effective immediately.
And was it a large percentage of the staff or?
No, there was only a few of us, but it would have been... the area that we were in production, so that area has been shut down, and the production team in another part of the company elsewhere in the country is now doing our job, what we have done. But it's the job that we were doing for them while they were closed, they couldn't open, so we were doing this job, and now they've basically just switched around, you know.
Right, it sounds like you feel a bit hard done by in that the company didn't have to do this. You don't believe they did, do you?
I didn't feel they had to do this, you know. I think they're kind of, I can understand that they're looking at their incomes and their makings, and they want to kind of protect their profit. I can understand that, but you know, you don't tell somebody that your job is safe and not to worry if you're not sure yourself on the outcome, you know. I don't feel I was given enough time to kind of prepare myself for this or to look for something else, maybe, you know.
So what's your situation now, or what does the future hold for you?
Well, it's not looking great, to be honest. I'm actively looking for work now. I'm looking for any ways and every ways to kind of make some sort of wage or some sort of job for myself, you know. It's going to be a lot of people unemployed down to COVID, so there's going to be many people again looking for work like the last recession we had, so... You know, it's going to be, unfortunately, it's going to be an employer's market again and not an employee's market, you know.
Sorry to hear that, Paul. And you're not the only one. I mentioned earlier on my own two kids have both lost their jobs. So you can see the reality for many people that, you know, at the start of this, we were all reassured everything will get back to normal in a couple of weeks and we'll be kicking off the country again. But it hasn't happened for some people the way we would like to.
Well, it hasn't happened. And I think, I mean, employers, if they're not sure themselves whether someone's job is safe, they need to let people know so people can kind of look for a backup solution, if you will. You know, look for some type of, I don't know, casual work or agency work just to kind of keep them ticking over so that they themselves have some sort of income coming in, you know, if things does.
Paul, I wish you well, and I hope something lands for you over the next couple of weeks. Thanks very much indeed for talking to us. Now, Pauline, tell me the situation with your husband. You there, Pauline?
I am indeed.
Yeah, go on.
Sorry.
Yep.
My husband is self-employed, and for years, but he retired last year, at the age of 66. But he didn't actually retire; he's still working for himself.
Okay.
And what's happened is he couldn't get any COVID payment because he said he had a pension.
Right. So he receives a state pension.
Yeah, but he couldn't have a COVID payment, even though he's self-employed.
Right, so...
I know of people that are retired and working in companies, and they get the COVID. So where does that leave the self-employed?
And I assume you got on looking for it and was told no...
Oh, yeah, I applied for it, and I actually rang them, and they said, no, he's on state pension, so he doesn't get the COVID.
And but the same applied to people who were on social welfare or disability benefit or anything like that.
But what about the ones that are working in a company? People that are working in a company. I know people working in a company, and they're actually being paid by the company because the company is getting the COVID payment for them. So how come they can pay people that are pensioned COVID payment?
Yeah, it's a very good question, but I do know it does apply to anybody who's in receipt of any sort of social welfare, even, you know, if they were on disability or whatever, you just...
All that. Yeah. I mean, people on the CE scheme, they didn't get any extra, and, you know, they're actually some of them are kept on working through it and still got less than people that, say, maybe only worked a day or two a week and got the full COVID payment, and they didn't. Like, there's a lot of discrepancies out there.
And what's the situation with your husband? Is he back working again?
He's back working now this past week or two because, you see, he used to go to people's houses, like to do showers, disabled bathrooms and stuff like that. So you couldn't go into people's houses over this period of time.
Mm.
You know, so
that is a difficult dilemma. But you know, a lot of people will say,
I think it's very unfair. I know he's getting a state pension.
Yeah.
But I think it's very unfairly done that way. Some people, even like people like on schemes and things like that, they just get their payment, and some of them have worked through it on their payment, and yet there's people that only worked 1 or 2 days a week and got 300.
Yeah, no, you're right about that.
It's
a very unfair discrepancy that many people have had to deal with. I just got this message in. I've two jobs. On one job, I've worked during the whole COVID. My other job that I'm in 16 years closed on the 12th of March, and we've had no communication at all from management. It's a disgrace. Staff have seen on my job's website that people can book tickets from the 11th of July, but we have no back to work date. It's scary, not even sure if I have a job to go back to. And I've heard lots of people complaining as well about companies not communicating with their staff, not indicating to their staff whether they're going to be back or not.
The sound of the city. 98 FM's Dublin Talks. Weekdays from 10 a.m. with Adrian Kennedy.